So glad to say that Movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional film critic, author, and women in cinema advocate. His appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg. We will start out with his review. First of all, welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you.
Creed 3.
Michael B. Jordan returns as Adonis Creed in Creed 3. He's retired from boxing and now manages other fighters. His latest recruit is Jonathan Majors, a troubled friend from the past who just got released after a 20-year prison sentence and now wants Creed to help him finally fulfill his dream of winning a championship. Buried tensions between the men eventually come out, and the only way to resolve those tensions is for Adonis to get back in the ring and fight his old pal. Well, what'd you think they would do? Play Scrabble? Despite a few blatant plot contrivances, Creed 3 has a pretty good story that builds on the first two films, while also adding a compelling new antagonist for Adonis. Michael B. Jordan is very good, but it's Jonathan Majors who drives the film with his intense performance. He makes us feel for his character, even though we often don't trust him. The boxing scenes are terrific, and the plot's theme about the need to reconcile troubling events from your past is poignant. Creed 3 isn't quite on par with its predecessors, but it's still a strong entry that proves the series can stand for a few more rounds. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 Rockies.
I'm surprised. I saw the trailer, and it looked like another boxing Rocky movie. We've seen this. I bet he wins the fight at the end. Who knows? But don't tell us. But you say no, compelling and well done.
It's compelling, and when you look at Rocky 3, I'm not saying Rocky 3 is a bad movie, but that was where it was starting to get a little silly. That was the one where Sylvester Stallone fought Mr. T. So, you know, they were already kind of getting more into that self-humor sort of thing. This one doesn't do that. It finds a new layer to the story and a new avenue to go down and adds a more serious antagonist for the hero. So I thought it was good. Like I said, there's some real plot contrivances. I mean, you sort of know from the beginning that Adonis is going to have to get back in the ring and fight his old pal at the end and stuff like that. So it's a little predictable, but the performances are good and the story is interesting, and it held my attention.
Performance is good, not unbelievably fantastic Oscar quality, but good.
Very good. I mean, Jonathan Majors is really the story here, and this is a guy who is really quickly making a name for himself. We also are seeing him currently in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. He was also in Spike Lee's The Five Bloods, Last Black Man in San Francisco, a really interesting independent film from a few years ago. This is a guy on the verge of major stardom, but not just movie stardom, that kind of stardom where somebody is also recognized as being a really phenomenal actor. Every movie he's in, he comes in and just commands the screen.
All right. Well, fantastic. Yeah, the trailer, you almost get that from the trailer that, you know, you're just seeing another venue for a super performer. Okay, so Creed 3?
Three Rockies.
Or throw three Rockies.
And interestingly, Rocky is never once mentioned in this movie.
No kidding.
Yep. They made a Rocky-based movie that has no mention of Rocky.
Not even a picture in the poster in the background or something?
Nope.
Isn't that funny? That's unusual for something that's sequential, right?
Sly Stallone has had some beefs with the producers of the movie, and that probably contributed to it.
Okay, they don't want any reference. Maybe somebody will say, hey, let's go watch Rocky, and then Stallone will get another $2 or
right.
something, so they don't want to do that. All right. All right, I guess that makes a little bit of sense. All right, mini-reviews quickly. Some looks like some pretty good movies out there. Southern Gospel, tell us about that.
This is a faith-based film, so unless you're kind of tapped into that sort of marketing, you might not have even heard of it, but it opens locally today. And it stars a very good young actor named Max Eric, who plays a young man from the South who wants to be a preacher, but he also wants to be a musician. A lot of people in his church tell him, don't play that electric guitar because that rock and roll music is devil's music. He goes, starts a rock and roll career, gets into drugs, has an accident, decides to recommit his life to God and return home. But it's a really interesting story. You know, we see a lot of rags-to-riches stories. This is kind of a rags-to-riches story, tracking this guy's ups and downs. It's a little melodramatic at times because a lot of really major life events are squeezed into 2 hours here. But I found the music really good. I found the performances good. I found the story quite interesting in the way that they portray religion in the South and how that's ingrained in people's lives was really authentic. So 3 stars for Southern Gospel. This is a very, very good faith-based film.
All right, and that's at the movies?
That opens today at AMC.
Okay, fantastic. And Creed 3's at the movies, of course.
Also there, yes.
Yeah, that needs a big screen also. All right, yeah, I watched Southern Gospel trailer. It looks fantastic to me, but then again, I watch Hallmark movies from beginning to end and wonder how they'll end. So, you know,
it has a little bit of that kind of quality to it. Lots of big things happen. You'll sort of know where it's going to go before it gets there, but it's okay. Part of the pleasure is just watching it get there.
Right, okay. So, yeah, it sounds like Hallmark to me. All right, fantastic. Southern Gospel, 3 stars there. I Got a Monster. I didn't know what to expect when you recommended it. I hadn't heard it, but holy smokes, we're going to have to watch this.
This is my pick of the week, and this is a film that you can stream on demand starting today. It's a documentary set in Baltimore, Maryland, and it's about a group of crooked cops who were part of what was called the Gun Trace Task Force. And under the guidance of their leader, they spent years terrorizing the black community in Baltimore. Not only pulling people over, but planting drugs and weapons in their cars, and oftentimes robbing the people that they pulled over. And the film looks at the crimes they committed, but also how a group of individuals in law enforcement, like other areas of law enforcement, a DA, some FBI agents, stuff, brought them down. So this is a really, really gripping film. And of course, you know, there's all this talk culturally right now about Back the Blue. And there are people who think the policing system is really broken and needs to be repaired. And there are other people who are willing to give police a lot of leeway because they put their lives on the line every day. No matter where you fall in that argument, this is a movie worth seeing because it does show how policing can be corrupted by a few bad individuals. So I think it's a really important part of that conversation. It's called I Got a Monster. 3.5 stars. You can rent that today wherever you rent movies from.
And a reference to stopping somebody who must have appeared as a monster on the drug trade or something?
I Got a Monster was what the lead cop, his name was Wayne Jenkins. He was all over the news at the time this happened. That was what he would say to his fellow officers when he pulled over somebody who had a lot of money or drugs. They would steal drugs when they found them and then give them to an intermediary who would sell them and then they would collect the profit. Okay. So when somebody had a large stash, he would say, I got a monster.
Well, and it is bad cop, but good cop. The people that go after them, you start to see that in the trailer.
Right.
Folks go after them. And this is a documentary. Wow,
yeah,
fantastic.
Really, really gripping film. I highly recommend that.
One, I have to recognize some of those neighborhoods in Baltimore, having gotten lost a few times. So.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, it's tough. So, okay, fantastic. I Got a Monster. Three and a half. 3.5. All right, fantastic. We'll watch that. And that's, how do we see that?
Wherever you stream movies, I believe you can probably rent it on Prime and iTunes and
okay,
places
fantastic.
Like that.
We'll look for that. Let's see, Oscar predictions. Let's jump right into that. Any particular order in which you wish to start?
I guess we'll start with the supporting categories. You know, this is interesting in the supporting actress category. For a long time, the front runner was considered to be Angela Bassett for Black Panther Wakanda Forever. She's probably still the favorite, although Jamie Lee Curtis is hot on her tail for Everything Everywhere All at Once. So I think it's probably going to be one of those two.
Oh, okay, so you're not going to narrow it down.
I think it'll probably still be Angela Bassett. She would be who I would pick as the likeliest winner. But if there's an upset, it'll be Jamie Lee Curtis.
All right, fantastic. All right, so actor in a supporting role.
That's almost definitely going to be Ke-Huy Quan for Everything Everywhere All at Once. He's had the comeback story of the year, a phenomenal performance, and in a movie that the Academy seems to love overwhelmingly.
Boy, if you haven't seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, you're missing the boat on this one. Actor in a leading role.
Here, the conventional wisdom says it's between Austin Butler for Elvis and Brendan Fraser for The Whale. And it could be either of them, but I kind of have this hunch that Colin Farrell is going to run up in the middle and win for The Banshees of Inisherin. I think those other two performances, as acclaimed as they are also a little bit divisive, whereas Farrell's performance really kind of won everybody over. So I have a feeling he may pull off an upset here.
All right, fantastic. So that's actor in a leading role and actress in a leading role.
This is definitely going to be Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once. An actress who made a lot of really fun martial arts movies in her native Hong Kong, but has also proven herself to be a phenomenal actress with Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Crazy Rich Asians, which I thought she should have gotten an Oscar nomination for. And now with Everything Everywhere All at Once, it is a career-defining role for her, so it is hers to lose.
Yeah, I smile when you say Crazy Rich Asians. Just thinking about it makes you smile.
It's yeah, it was a fun
fabulous,
movie.
Fabulous movie. All right, I only have Best Picture down. I don't go any farther in. Do you wish to go farther into the categories?
I think that Best Picture Picture and Best Director are going to be tied together. I think Best Picture is going to be Everything Everywhere All at Once. In fact, that's pretty much a guarantee. And I think the film's dual directors, who go by the name The Daniels, are going to win Best Director. So it's going to be a very, very big night for Everything Everywhere All at Once. I think it's going to take a lot of the top categories.
All right. Will it come back into theaters at some point?
It is still technically in a few theaters across the country.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you can also rent it and purchase it.
Oscars Sunday night.
Sunday night, yeah.
Hosted by?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Thank you. I knew that. All right. Fantastic. All right. Yeah. Toned down dissing of Hollywood. So look for that. And probably some Republican jokes. Is he going to do political jokes?
He usually does. So okay. I would imagine that.
Okay. No Lady Gaga there, though?
Right. She's nominated for Best Original Song for Hold My Hand from Top Gun Maverick. She is currently shooting the sequel to Joker and did not feel she had time to organize the kind of performance that people expect from her. And so she has announced that she will not be performing Hold My Hand at the Oscars.
Nor present?
I don't think she's going to be present either.
Okay, so well, then there's one outfit crossed off the list that you won't get to.
She might be present. Don't hold me to that, but okay. I know she's not performing.
All right, and Robert Blake died, 89, I think it was.
89, famous for the TV show Beretta, famous for being put on trial for allegedly having murdered his wife, although he was acquitted for that.
A lot of folks think he did it.
Right. But if you want to see Robert Blake at his eeriest, go and see David Lynch's Lost Highway. Regardless of what you think of Robert Blake as the man, he is so phenomenally creepy in that film. And if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. So Robert Blake, whether he did this awful thing or not, he was a talented actor. And he left us, I think, yesterday.
All right, fantastic. Yeah, Robert Blake. And quite a filmography. I looked him up real quick. I mean, dozens.
In Cold Blood, another classic.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, fantastic. And half of those movies, you look at them, you say, oh, I saw that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, yeah, just had a great legacy. Movie Mike, thank you so much. I think that's everything we got to chit-chat about, right?
Yep. Yep, see you next week.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, good luck on your Oscar picks. Do you put any money on this? Is there such a thing?
I'm not a betting man, so no.
Good for you. Wise choice. Movie Mike McGranahan, his appearance always sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org.